called Gimel Amud Aleph. And the first Mishnah established halacha, probably a din derabbanan, possibly rooted in a din derais. Pashta says all things a din derabbanan. How do you put together the bezin? Each one of the baladinim should pick one dayan, and the dayan should pick the third dayan. And in this way, yetzi adin lamita. That's the expression that the Gemara has. Yetzi adin lamita. Why will it be yetzi adin lamita? Because the dayan that I pick will feel that called gimel amud aleph. And the first Mishnah established halacha, probably a din derabbanan, possibly rooted in a din derais. Pashta says all things a din derabbanan. How do you put together the bezin? Each one of the baladinim should pick one dayan, and the dayan should pick the third dayan. And in this way, yetzi adin lamita. That's the expression that the Gemara has. Yetzi adin lamita. Why will it be yetzi adin lamita? Because the dayan that I pick will feel that it's his responsibility to work hard, a little harder on my behalf, not to present any tiny sheker, but to work a little harder on my behalf to try to think even harder, to spend more time trying to think maybe my side is correct, not to leave it to say any lies or anything like that. And whatever the psak will be, both baladin will accept it, the ahava, because they'll know that they had input in choosing the bez, and they won't think that it was forced down their throat. Okay, that's how the Mishnah begins. So then the Mishnah presented the machlokes Rameir Nachachamim. Rameir says, I can pass over the other fellow's dayan, and I can pass over the other fellow's aid. Nachachamim say, what are you talking about? How can you pass over the other fellow's dayan? How can you pass over the other one's aid? What's going on over here? It's very unclear. So the Gemara first gave a pshat in Zed Pasol Dayan Shol Zeh that we're talking the Dayanim Shebesuri Yaskin. We're talking, everybody knows that the Dayan is not a Tanakh. The Dayan will be the first one to tell you he doesn't know how to learn. A Dayan that doesn't know how to learn is not kosher to serve as a Dayan, unless they want to have a pshar, whatever Yosha dictates. So he has a glatta cup, or a half glatta cup, so he'll say what he thinks Yosha dictates. But if they didn't agree to a pshara, and you can't force a pshara on the two baladim, it's a mitzvah of tzoya. We pass them from the three shitas on davod. Is it an avera to do pshara? Is it considered ivus adin? Or is it a mitzvah to do pshara? Or is it optional? So we pass them that it's a mitzvah. It's preferable to encourage the baladim they should go for pshara. That's a psak of lefnei mishuras adin. Rather than go on din, it's preferable to go to lefnei mishuras adin. It doesn't constitute any ivus adin chaliyah. But even though it's taka mitzvah l'ftsoya to recommend and to try to encourage them to have pshara, but it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says in Siman Yud Beis that you cannot be koif on a pshara. If they don't agree, they don't agree. So if we're having a case where they insist they want to have a din, and the baladinim pick tar koish, the suri, they pick dayanim in that community where everybody knows the dayan is the first one to admit that he doesn't really know what it says in halacha. So how do you come off to pick such a dayan? They don't have Talmid HaChacham, so that's the Minhag HaMedina, always like that, for many, many years already, for the last 40 years, 60 years. They use these people, these, let's say, rabbis. The rabbis themselves say they don't know Chai Shemesh, but they don't know Shulchan Aruch. That's the Minhag. So, since the Minhag is that the community always chooses these people, so the Chachamim say, that's as if you had already been Mekabel. This Dayan, all the members of the community are considered as if they were Mekabel, these Dayanim, these Rabbanim, as Kosher Dayanim. And the halacha says in the next Mishnah, if you mekabel apostle Adayan, you can't back out from the psak. And Rameya disagrees in the next Mishnah, so he disagrees over here, and he says, no, you can't back out. Even if you were mekabel apostle Adayan, you can back out. Okay. So that's the one machloik. Is that apostle Adayan Shal Zeh? Is that apostle Adayan Shal Zeh? If it's talking bar kosher b'suri yaskin. But then the Mishnah continues, and it says, the machloik is amen hachamim. Is that apostle, we have it in Torah, middle of it in Torah, we have to be mevara a certain point. So you bring forward two witnesses and they testify on your behalf. And I say your witnesses are pasul lahoy. What do you mean I say? I say that they're ganovim, that they're mechalli shabbos, they eat traitors, they don't keep taras on shpocha. Whatever I say, all story. So Rameyu says, that pasul eidav shol zeh. I have a right to declare that your eidim are pasul eidav. How do you come off to make such a statement? The Chacham say, no, how can I be bagleit, how can I be believed to say that you're Eidim Apostle? So the first suggestion was given. On Amud Aleph, Reish Lakish says, how can a mayor say such a wild statement? How can such a holy man, Pek Kodesh, how could a holy mouth of the Tana Rameyer, use such an expression, say such a din, that that person Eidav shall say. So Rish Lakish said there must be a misprint in the Mishnah, Tini Eido. That's towards the bottom of the daf, three lines from the bottom. He says, Ramey, we never say such a thing. I can declare that you're Eidav, my person Eidav. It must be that it didn't. In the middle of the din Torah, we have to ascertain a certain point of information, and the din requires that you should produce two witnesses. But in the middle of the din Torah, I said, you're such a fake, it's not true, the whole thing is such a lie. If you'll produce an eid echad, I dare you, if you bring one aid who will say that the facts are the way you said, I'll pay you the money. I'll let the bezin paskin in your favor. And one aid you do produce, he comes forward with, you bring one aid, and the one aid says like you said. And then I see, he called my bluff, he brought one aid, and I just agreed, if you bring one aid, even though the din requires that you have to prove the point with two aid, I said, if you prove it with one aid, I'll pay the money. Then after your aid effort comes, I says, I back out from my commitment. I promise that even if you just bring an aid effort, I'll pay. Aid echad should be acceptable, ki'ilu, you have brought two aid, and I back out from the commitment. So Rish Lakish says, well, that's the old machlokes that we're going to have. If you accepted Pasala Aidin, or you accepted Pasala Dayanin, or you accepted Eid Echod instead of two Aidin, or you accepted less than three members of a Bezin, except one or two people instead of a Bezin of three, or Kroidim, or whatever, he has to swear, so he says, I'll let him get away with the Neder, let him not say Shavua, no Sefer Torah, no Shem Hashem, duly b'chayi v'shecha, even if he doesn't formulate the Shavua properly, so whenever the din requires, the din Torah procedure should have gone one way. And the Baladinim agreed to settle for less than that, and then later on, whoever lost in the Psak is unhappy about the way things turned out in the end. So that's the Machlokes Amei and the Rabbanan. So the mayor says you can back out from your agreement that you said you're going to pay even based on the Pasul A, and the Chacham say you cannot back out. So that's Rish Lakish's suggestion on Amud Aleph. So last week we started learning on the base, the Gemara was unhappy with that. How can you say that there's a misprint in the Mishnah? If in the beginning of the Mishnah it writes in the singular, Zet Poisel Dino Shel Zet. In the singular, I can parcel your dying. And the second half in the Sefer of the Mishnah says, Zet Poisel Eidov Shel Zet. So you see that there's a contrast. The way the Mishnah appears, apparently they were very precise, they were very careful to transmit the Lashon of the Halacha, the Lashon of the case with the Machlokes Amei Rabbanan is with Daikonis. With precision, that in the one case it's Zet Poisel Dino Shel Zet, a single dying, and the Sefer it's Zet Poisel Eidov Shel Zet, he's passing the Eidim, the two Eidim that he has. You cannot say that it's talking that there's only Eid Echod, and the party agreed, one of the parties agreed to pay based on Eid Echod, even though the Din says that he only has to pay if the other one is going to produce two Eidim. It doesn't seem that Rish Lakish's Pshat fits into the Mishnah, so he must have come up with a different Pshat. So we started the Gemara last week, the Gemara brings up a whole new topic. You bring two kosher Eidim, and I say, those Eidim are Pasul Hoyd, because they're Avodim. And the din is that a Nebet Kenani is Pasul Eidim. Nebet Kenani is Chai Mitzvah Ki'isha, he has a Kedusha Sisra. But we learn from a Pasuk that he's not kosher Eidim. So the question the Gemara raised is, can you say that I am an Ogeyat? In the middle of a din Torah, you bring two witnesses, and I say your witnesses are possible because they're ganavim, because they're kroivim, because they're avodim, something like that. So am I not an egeh bedover? Of course I'm going to say your witnesses are possible. I'm going to say anything I can possibly say in order not to have to pay the money. So I'm an egeh bedover. So an egeh bedover, you don't accept his testimony. So the Gemara raises the question, can you really declare that I'm an egeh bedover? I'm saying the whole family are avodim. I say this fellow comes from this family. I say the name, the Schechter family, the Weinberg family, whatever, the Kulitz family, whatever. I said, God, the whole family, they're all Avodim. So it's relevant not only for my din Torah, that they can't be Eidim. They can't marry a Jewish girl. They can, none of them can be mitzvah to a minion. All these can't give them an aliyah. All the dinim that are relevant to an Eved. So can you really call me in such a case a Negev Adovah to say that a Negev is postulatus and not Sav? So the Pashtun says, of course he's a Negev Adovah. Sav Kosav in the middle of a din Torah. I'll say anything in order not to have to pay the money. So of course I'm an egeh bedover. Why should the Gemara come up with an ein file? No, since I'm saying on the whole family in the Mela, these Eidim are part of that family. These Eidim are part of the Schechter family. This Eid is part of the Weinberg family. I just declared the Schechter and the Weinberg family, they're all Avodim. So this is just Derech Agav. What do you mean? But I'll say anything in order not to have to pay the money. So the Gemara touched on a topic, that's where we started last week. We mentioned the Choshen Mishpat. In the end of Hilcha Seydis, there's a famous Machlokes Achronim, what's the nature of the Psul of Negea? Is Negea postulated because of the Chashash Meshaker? Or do you say, no, you never choshish that an Eid is going to be Meshaker. Later there's a Machlokes Atarayim, in one case, Oid is Seine. So maybe the Pshat is, you never choshish that Eidim are going to be Meshaker. And Negea is postulated because we consider him a Baldover. So if you say because of Chashash Meshaker, so when I'm in the middle of a din Torah, so like we said originally, I'll say anything in order not to have to pay. The Chashash Meshaker applies, I'll say that they're Kroivim, they robbed the bank, the Mechal Shabbos, they're Gazlonim, they're Avadim, I'll say anything I have to say. But if you say that the Yisrael Psul of Negeya, being postulated, is because he's a Baldovor, so that's what the Gemara raised the possibility. How can you say that I'm a Baldover? I'm talking about an issue of Isa the Heter over here. Baldover is indeed imominous. Baldover is usually indeed imominous. Let's say there's a Malven Alover. You claim that you lent $1,000 to the other guy and he says that he paid it up already. He says that he never borrowed it. So who are the Balei Dvarim? The Malven Alover. The question is, does he owe you the money? Does he not owe you the money? So sometimes he can say, and when you have it in Torah, there are only two people? No, sometimes you can have a company that has 100 shutfim. They lent the money to another company that has 100 shutfim. So you can have 200 Balei Dvarim. They're all Balei Dvarim. Sometimes you can have not only the Malven Alover, the Arev. I lent him $1,000, and if he doesn't pay, then there's a cosigner he has to pay. So I got not only more than two people, not only can you have 100 people here, 100, you can have even three parties. Let's say if this company that consists of 100 people lent $1,000, lent $100,000 to the other company that consists of 100 partners. So you have 100 partners, but it's one party. Then the other party also, it's one party with 100 partners. But here you have even a third party. You have the Malveh Loiv, and you can have the Arev. Then you can have the one to whom it's Nageya. Let's say the Gemara has all kinds of cases in Perek Cheskes Abatim of Negiyas, that you say that the other fellow stole your karka, and it's an, I don't care whether you win the karka or not, but I would rather have the karka by him because somebody borrowed money from me and I never paid, and I sold the karka to this guy, and I want that malva to collect that karka in order that he shouldn't pester me in the future. So you can have all kinds of outsiders can be again the Yeduso. You can have more people being considered Balei Dvarim. Not only is the Baldover, the Malva, with the Loiva, with the Arei, you can have Zaitige outside parties, a fourth party with a fifth party with a sixth party, if there's enough of a Negiya. If it's too slight a Negiya, the Gemara says it doesn't pass on. But if it's a serious enough Negiya, the Gemara gives you details. When is it serious enough to be considered a Negiya, when not? So when it's a serious enough Negiya, then we declare the person as a Baldover. So when do you say that everybody is a Negev Bedover, is a Baldover? That's if you're talking about Dini Mominis, that you have a whole bunch of parties. But if we're declaring that a person is an Eved, that he's postulated, that's a topic of Yisrael Heter. So the only one who's a Baldover is the family themselves. The family themselves are the Balei Dvarim. No one else is a Baldover. What you have to speak about a Baldover? Take for example, I'll give a mashal in Maseches Kiddushin. The beginning of the second parak in Kiddushin. Did we learn that? I forgot about it. We learned the beginning of the second parak. So the Gemara has a machlokes b'shamah b'silu. Let's say I appoint a shliach to be mekadosh an isha for me. I'm in love with a certain girl. We made up. We want to get married. I can't make it to the chasana. I can't make it to the wedding. So I send a shliach that he should be mekadosh. You can make a shliach for the Kiddushin, not for the chuppah, not for the yichud. That he can't make a shliach. For the Kiddushin, he can make a shliach. So let's say I send a shliach. Good. So he gives a ring and says, Hariat Mekudeshesli. What if I gave him a ring? So the Gemara has a machlegis b'sham and b'silo. The din requires you have to have two kosher witnesses under the chuppah. Can the shliach serve as one of the witnesses? Let's say the chuppah, under the chuppah, the chassan gives a ring to the kala. So you have the chassan and the kala, are the two Balei Dvarim. And then you have two kosher witnesses aside from the chassan kala. Here, the chassan didn't show up. So the chassan sent the shliach. So the shliach is giving a ring to the kala. Can the shliach serve as one of the two witnesses? You only need another one kosher witness. Or they say, no, the shliach is bimkaim the chassan. He's like the chassan. So you have to have two other kosher witnesses aside from the shliach. So that's a dispute, the Gemara says, between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai say, ein shliach naseh. The shliach is the baldover. He's the balamaisa. How can he serve as the aid? The shliach is bimkaim the chassan. You have to have two separate witnesses. We don't pass him like the Beis Shammai. We pass him like the Beis Hillel. that shliach nasa eitet. Shliach is just doing a maisa kof ba'alma, just like acting like a monkey. He's representing the chosn. It's considered as if the chosn gave the ring to the kala. Since I pointed a shliach, and I say, amiroscha kamirosi, whatever you say, if you say the right thing, I want to marry Rachel, I don't want to marry Leah. So I want you to say, Hariat Mekudesh is give the girl a ring. So when he gives the ring, it's considered as if the chosn gave the ring. When he says Hariat, it's considered as if the chosn did it. So it's considered as if the shliach didn't do anything here. He just, like a pantomime, he did a maisa kof bi'alma. The chosn is really the bala maisa. The chosn said the hariyat, al pidin. The chosn said, the chosn did, the shliach didn't do anything. So the shliach is an outsider, basically. So the shliach can serve as one of the two kosher witnesses. That's how he passed like the Vesilu. The shliach is nasei. The shliach can serve as one of the eight. Fine. So then the Gemara raises the question, what if the chosn gave a ring to the shliach? The ring is worth $100, $300, whatever. And he says, give the ring to the kala, say hariyat mikudeshesli. If you don't give the ring to the kala, it's self-understood, you gotta give it back to me. So of course it's in him. And then he claims, the shliach claims, that he gave the ring. The shliach and another aide claim, he gave the ring to the kala under the chuppah, said hariyat, and the girl is married. Of course it's in his interest to say that he gave the ring to the kala. If he's not going to say he gave the ring to the kala, then he has to give back the $300 ring to the chosn, which he no longer has. He really did give it to the kala. But he's going to give the edusa. So the Gemara discusses, can he serve as one of the Eidei Kiddushin? Maybe he's considered the Negev Yedusa. So the Gemara says it depends. On the level of their Raisa, he's not a Negev Yedusa. Because on the level of their Raisa, if the chosn will confront him and ask him, where's my $300 ring? All he has to say is, I gave it to the kala. Finished. He doesn't have to swear, doesn't have to do anything, and the case is closed. Kofer hakol. He says, I did what I was supposed to do with it, and I'm not chayv to pay anything. So on the level of the Raisa, he's not a Negev. But on the level of the Rabbanon, that the din is that if he's kofer hakol, I say, where's the $300 ring that I gave you? And he says, I did what I was supposed to do, and I don't owe you a penny. He said, then the din is yes to swear shvur seses. So once the later, in the days of the later Amorayim Achrayim, when they instituted, the Gemara uses a lashon v'hashto. Now that the Chachamim introduced the shvur seses, and hashto means in the days of the later Amorayim, Tosfos says. So now the aid is considered a neged yedusa, because the reason why he says he gave it over to the kala is because he doesn't want to have to pay the $300, and doesn't want to have to swear. So it's a neged yedusa. So on that Gemara, when it says it is a neged yedusa, the Rashba, and the Chiddush Rashba quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that the Yerushalmi disagrees with the Bavli. Even after they introduced Takana Shvus Heses, you cannot declare the shliach as a negeya be'eduso. What's far negeya? Negeya means, it depends how you understand negeya. The psul of negeya is because there's a chashash mishaker. So the guy, a person can tell a lie about anything. He'll tell a lie in order to save himself $300. He'll tell a lie that girl was married to you and I gave her the ring and I don't have to. He'll tell any lie in the world. He'll say the cow jumped over the moon. He'll tell anything in order to be papa for the money. But if he say that the psul of negeh is not because of chashash meshaka, but rather because he becomes one of the parties to the case, and now he's one of the balei dvarim, so then the Yerushalmi seems to assume when it comes to a chasana, there are only two balei dvarim, the chasana and the kala. When it comes to dini mamonis, you can have many, many, many balei dvarim. You can have the malve and the loive and the orev and the other balchayiv and the loive. He wants to have karka that his malve should be able to collect from. Anyone who has a heavy nagi, their China Baldover, can have many parties, not only two people, can have many people, but even more than two parties can be Baldover. Whoever has a shtikal nagi, a significant enough nagi, becomes labeled as a Baldover. But if you're talking about Edis and a Chasana, so who's a Baldover over there? The Pashtus is only the Chasana and the Kala Baldover. It's hard to say that the aide who wants to save himself $300, not giving back the ring, becomes a baldover on the issue of whether the kala is married to the chosn or not. So that perhaps is the machloikis, that's what Rav Soloveitchik once suggested. Perhaps that is the machloikis between the Bavli and Yerushalmi, even after they instituted the takana shvuas heses. And there's what to be concerned about, that maybe the aid is testifying falsely that the kala agreed to marry the chosn with the $300 ring in order that the aid who's serving as the shliach shouldn't be held responsible to return the $300 ring to the chosn. So the Bavli says that he isn't a Gebi Yedusim. The Yerushalmi seems to ignore that concern. So it sounds as if perhaps that's the dispute, whether the nature of the Psul Negeh is because of Chashash Meshaker, So you have to be choshish, she'll tell a lie about anything. Why should you say no? The psul of negay is because of baldova. How can you say he's a baldova? The only two balidvam are the chosin and the kala. So it's just a similar issue over here that the Gemara raises at one point. But then the Gemara rejects it. So first the Gemara raises the possibility, you brought two witnesses and they both say the facts are X, Y, Z. And anyway, based on that set of facts, I have to pay you the money. Then I come and I say, I come with another person. You have to have two people to declare that an aid is possible aid is. Can't just, you don't say, aid echad nami bisurim. One witness says that someone robbed the bank. One witness says that it's Machal Shabbos. You don't believe me. You have to have two witnesses. The Gemara has later, the two witnesses don't have to both testify on the same thing. Let's say one witness says that it's Machal Shabbos. The other witness says that he robbed the bank. You don't have two witnesses who say that he robbed the bank, nor do you have two witnesses who say that he does his business on Shabbos. If you have Eid Echad on one thing and Echad on another thing, that's called Eidus Mi'echedus, it's also good. It's Mitztaf Yachad to passel a person Le'edus. That's what it says in the Gemara later. That's quoted in Shulchan Aruch also with respect to Chazanim. Years ago, they used to fire a Chazan. That was grounds for firing a Chazan if he wasn't the Shana Mitzvahs. So let's say you have two rabbi achazon. So let's say they have two. And Shulchan Aruch is written by rabbis, so they write about the chazon. If they have a Shulchan Aruch about firing rabbis, so they talk about the eidim and the rabbi. So they have in Shulchan Aruch such a discussion. One eid says that the chazon eats treifas. All the time they know the chazon eats it. The other eid says that he was once there, the chazon ate on Yom Kippur. In between, whatever, Shachar and Musaf, he went and he had a sandwich on Yom Kippur, and he wasn't sick, and there wasn't any problem, and he says he always eats on Yom Kippur. So you don't really have two Eidim testifying on the same thing. One Eid says this, and one Eid says that. So that's called Eidus Mi'echedes. So indeed, in the Foshas, Eidus Mi'echedes is not acceptable. Indeed, in Mamad, Eidus Mi'echedes is acceptable. How do you consider this? The possible a person to say that he's possible to serve as a chazan, and to say a person is possible a Eidus, they treat that like the serious cases. It is very serious to say that a person is a Rosh. It is very serious, but it's not called Dini Nefoshes. So we treat it like Dini Mamres. The Gemara says Eidus Mi'echedes would be good. See, the Gemara has also to declare that somebody is an Eved. To the best of our knowledge, in Shechter family, the Weinberg family, they're all Jewish. They can marry any Jewish person. They can be mitzvah to an Aliyah. They can daven for an Omer. They can get an Aliyah. Everything normal. All of a sudden, we want to declare that these whole families are Avodim. So you have to have two kosher witnesses to declare. It's not just believe Eid Echad. You don't say Eid Echad and then be Surim, and this is a matter of Issa Behete, whether this family are Avodim or they Israel. No, you don't treat it like Issa Behete, that Eid Echad is believed. It's clear from the Gemara, you have to have two kosher Eidim. That's also a question. How do you know that that's so? How do you know that the possible person that Eid is, you have to have two kosher Eidim? The Gemara never has a mocha. The Sifrei talks about it. The Sifrei Darshan's on the Pasuk, La'yokim Eid Echad Be'ish. So the Sifrei Darshan, every word in the Pasuk is referring to additional cases, even to say that someone is postulated, so in that case you would also need two kosher eidim. So the Gemara has this case over here. In the middle of it in Torah, the Bezin says the Psak will hinge on the ascertaining of certain set of facts, X, Y, Z, we need that information. And one of the Baladinim produces two witnesses, two kosher witnesses, and they say it was X, Y, Z. And Mela, Bezman's prepared to paskin. Bezman already did paskin in one direction. Then come two Eidim. So if two Eidim come from the blue, and they say, no, these Eidim have just testified, they're Mishpachas Avodim. So if two Eidim come from outside of the case, and they testify, okay. So two Eidim in Bachutz and Amon. But what if the Baldin Shekeneged, the one who's losing the entire, the Baldin Shekeneged comes, Bohuvi Acher Lipsov, and they say, Levi Yodua, this whole family, they're all Avodim. So one Tana was of the opinion that there's no problem of Nageya. How can it be not a problem of Nageya? He'll say anything under the sun in order not to have to pay. So the Chorid, that Tana is of the opinion that Nageya, the Psul Nageya is not because Chashash Meshaka. Like we said, there are Rishonim in post-mod, you never Choshi, there's always a possibility that everybody's Meshaka. And the Rambam says that's the Pasuk in the Torah, that you don't, that you're not Choshi, that the guy's Meshaka. Unless you have ascertained already that he's a Rasha, then a Rasha is Choshev Lushake. But on a normal person, you have not ascertained, you have not established that he's a Rasha, so there's no problem of Chashash Meshake. The only reason why Negeh is possible is because the Negeh is considered as if he's a Baldovra on the case. So that's what this opinion in the Tanoim, that's what he suggests. Ramei holds Zeh Poisel Eid of Shol Zeh, Zeh Poisel Eid of Shol Zeh. If the Baldin Shekinege together with another Eid Echad come and we testify together that your Eidim are Avodim, so we're saying on the whole family that they're Avodim. That's an issue that's not related to this. It happens that it is negeya to this case. If the Edom are not Avodim, they don't have to pay because the testimony is accepted. If the Edom are Avodim, the testimony is not accepted. I don't have to pay. It happens to be negeya to the case, but you can't say that because of my negeya, I become a baldover on the issue as to whether he's an Eved or not. You can add on more people as Balei Dvarim if the case that you're discussing is Dini Mamonis, but once you're discussing whether the other fellow is an Eved or not, that's a topic of Yisvehet, and so the only Baldover are the people in the family themselves. Maybe their husbands, their wives, maybe their spouses, their children, those are all the Balei Dvarim. The people who will be affected by this issue, the people who will be affected in their personal status, whether they're married or not, whether they're Avodim, whether they're not Avodim, but the people who will be affected indirectly, whether they'll have to pay money based on their testimony, how can you say I'm a Baldover on that? So that seems to be that original suggestion. Then he more backed out from that. Moore said it cannot be Rav Shah. But even though they backed out from that, here at the Begam Mishpocha, that was in the middle of the Daf. From Meir Sova, Hani HaMishpocha Kamisad, the Yilme Mele Kopachot, that's a Chav Gimel on the base, right in the middle of the Daf. They're talking about Korah Olov Irur, and his Eidim, Irur, the Begam Mishpocha, they say that they're Avodim. So Meir says, Yilme Mele Kopachot, you can't consider the Baldin Shekeneged as an Egeya on this issue. What do you mean it's not Egeya? It's 100% Egeya. It's going to save himself $5 million. Yeah, he is an Egeya. But you can't say because in the Giyas moment he becomes a Baldover on the topic as to whether the other fellow is an Eved or not. And the Reb Meir is of the opinion that Negeh is only possible not because of Chashash Meshaka, but only because of Baldover. And the Rabbanim say no, that doesn't make any sense. So the accepted opinion is for sure not like the suggestion was made within Reb Meir that it's not a Negeh, no. It's zikr is a negeya. However you'll understand negeya, whether you understand negeya as chashash mishak, or negeya is a baldover, he is a baldover. I am a baldover on the topic as to whether Pliny is an epic, whether the whole mishpachas Pliny is an epic or not. I am a baldover. So he's still looking for a different shah. So the Gemara says, Ki yasa rabdini, am Rabbi Yechon, rabdini came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. He told them over, they rarely knew what Rabbi Yechon said. Rabbi Yechon lived in Eretz Yisrael. So once in a while, Amaroyim would come from Eretz Yisrael and tell him over Divrei Torah from Rabbi Yechon. So he said over Rabbi Yechon's pshat in the Mishnah that it's an issue of Tzarech Levar. So we started last week. We left off in the middle of all the three sheets. We didn't finish out all the details. So we started that Rav Soloveitchik mentioned the Ramban HaChumash and the Pasuk Al Pishnai Meidim Al Pishlosh Eidim Yumas Hameh. So the other Pasuk Al Pishnai Eidim Al Pishlosh Eidim Yopim Dovah. And the Mishnah in Makkos raises the question, as Mark quoted it earlier on, Daf Tes and Aleph. Im is Kayem, so it is Bishnayim, Lama Parva Chakos of Bishloish. If two witnesses are good, anything above two is good. So Fashtetzel, Muvim Me'elam, that three witnesses are good. Same thing. So the Tanoim give a drosh, a Torah Shabbat Peh. They're reading something in between the lines. But how do you read the Pshutta Shal Mikra? Doesn't the Ramban or Afsadigo and Achumish don't understand what it says in the Mishnah is Pshutta Shal Mikra? Doesn't seem. A Korav Apostle and Achio Zamukulam, all kinds of fancy things. That seems to be reading in between the lines. But what is this simple translation? Rav Sadigran had a difficult shot, and Ramban said that's what it means, Sarach Levar. The Aloha says it's sufficient with two witnesses, but if the Baldova claims in the middle of the Din Torah, Bezin says, what are the facts? He says, the facts are X, Y, Z. Bezin says, well, we're not going to take your word for it. Can you prove that with witnesses? Can you bring two witnesses? He says, I can bring five witnesses. That Aloha says he has to bring five. It says, Al Pishnayim Eidim, Al Pishloisha Eidim, Al Pishnayim, Al Pishloisha Eidim. Why does it say Shloisha? The din is that Shnayim is good. But if he says, if the Baldin says, I can produce five witnesses, the Aloha changes and Aloha says he has to bring all five. That's called Tzorach Levar. That's what the Gemara calls not Tzorach Levar. So this sheet of the Tanoim, we have to figure out who holds Tzorach Levar. Meir Chacham, that's we're going to have to work out the details. So this sheet of Tzorach Levar, to what extent do they hold that Tzorach Levar? To what extent do you understand that? So Rashi and Tosfos say, you put it together, Rashi has two pshat, and Rabbi Netama has a pshat, and the Tosfos on Chav Gimel Beis. It boils down, there are three sheetahs how to understand Tzorach Levar. So one opinion of Rashi is, you really take it literally. The din is that two witnesses are sufficient under normal circumstances. Unless the Baldin claims he has the ability to bring three, the Halacha changes and says you need three kosher witnesses. He says he can bring five, the Halacha says you need five. Because he opened his mouth and he said, I can bring five. Knaka, he says, I can bring five witnesses. The Halacha says, no. Bezin says, you sure? He asked him again, you sure? Yeah, I can bring five witnesses. Five kosher witnesses? Yeah, five kosher witnesses. If you ask me, he says, no, I have a lot of women and a lot of... You say, no, but how many kosher witnesses? He says, no, I can bring five kosher witnesses. So one opinion in the Gemara is, one pshat in the Gemara is, the halacha changes and says, since he says I can bring five kosher witnesses, so it should be. The halacha now requires he has to bring five kosher witnesses. One sheet. Next sheet is, no, he has to bring five people who will come and testify, but the halacha doesn't really change. The halacha says two out of the five have to be kosher. The other three have to show up and they have to say what he said they're going to say. If they show up and they say, we don't remember anything about that at all, then the Bezin called his bluff and he loses. Even though if he wouldn't have opened his mouth in the first place, the halacha would have said he brought two witnesses. He would have won with the two witnesses, but because he was knacker, and he said, I can bring five, and the Bezin says, he's sure, and he said, absolutely, I will bring five people who will testify that that's what happened. So the halacha now says he has to bring all five. Two out of the five have to be kosher, and the other three don't have to be kosher, but they have to show up and be able to say, in all honesty, we testify that that's what happened. The Rabbeinu Tam is the third opinion going down. Rabbeinu Tam is the third opinion, not so severe as even the second sheet in Rashi. Sarach Levara doesn't really change any hilchas, birurim hilchas edus at all. It's just the din on the bezin. Bezin shouldn't pass from the case until they try to ascertain as much as possible. The fellow claims he can bring five witnesses. So let's try to see. Let's hear what the true barod yoyitz, like when you need to make a decision. So the more people you consult, so the pasuk says, initially you'll come to a better conclusion. The Bnei Shalom consulted with the angels before he created Adam Rishon. We should all consult. True barod yoyitz. So here also, if you have two witnesses, if you have five witnesses, so you'll get more details. He'll add another piece of information. He'll add another piece of information. And then the Bezin will interrogate, cross-investigate. So we'll come out, we'll get a better picture of what happened. Even though basically two witnesses are enough, you get five, it'll be better. But what happens? It's a din lechatchila on the Bezin. Bezin should try. They shouldn't say, we don't need five witnesses. The Knacker says he can bring five. Bezin says, but don't waste our time. You have no time for five witnesses. No, they shouldn't say, don't waste our time. And they shouldn't say, it's going to cost you $100 an hour, or it's not in your best interest, or you're going to have to pay the dayanim for schar batola. They shouldn't threaten that. They should say, okay, if you really want to have five witnesses, so we should talk and listen to what all five have to say. But let's say later on it turns out that he can only produce two witnesses. He called this bluff, and he can't, and the other three say, we never heard of it, we were never there. Or we can't get them to come to business. So the Rabbeinu Tam claims he has a right in the Gemara Babasa. Rashi obviously has an alternate shot. But the Rabbeinu Tam claims the Gemara Babasa says that it's only lechatchila, but even if he can produce the other witnesses, is zeichet good. If he brings two kosher edim, he's going to win the din Torah based on the two edim. So there are three versions of what this idea means. Tzarach levara dvorach. Now, depending on the three versions, we're going to have to figure out who says which way. Rameo holds tzarach levara, Rameo says ain't tzarach levara. So let's go slowly. According to the first pshat, the way we presented the first pshat and Rashi, that if he says tzarach levara, the din haTorah changes, and now you require five kosher witnesses. The man says, I can bring five witnesses. The Bezin says, you sure? All five kosher witnesses, yeah, I can bring five kosher. And they tell him the rule is women, avon, yeah, five kosher witnesses. The din changes because of his claim, and halacha now requires five kosher witnesses. So if now he produced two witnesses, and he claims he can bring another two, another three, another four. Six witnesses, going to bring another four. But since he says he can bring five or six, so all five or six have to be kosher. So even though under normal circumstances, the Baldin Shekeneged wouldn't have been considered an Egebi Eduso if he would testify, oh, these two guys, they're not kosher ladies because they're Avodim. The whole family are Avodim. He would have said, that's not an Egebi Eduso. He has another four witnesses who are going to be mighty the moment anyway. So not that I'm telling, there's no chashash mishaka that I'm telling a lie in order to be off the hook, in order not to have to pay. But you can't say that I'm a baldover over here. I'm a baldover because without these witnesses, I wouldn't have to pay. Now with the witnesses, I do have to pay. I'm going to have to pay anyway. The guy's going to bring six witnesses over here. So that's what the Gemara says, if you hold Tzarech Levarer, if you hold, he has to bring all the six witnesses, they all have to, if the halacha requires all four, all six have to be kosher edim, and if any one of them turns out to be pasul edus, then he loses the din Torah, even though he has way more than two kosher edim, he's going to lose. So then of course the Baldin who's going to testify, Baldin Shekeneger is going to testify that some of them are Rishoyim, are Kroivim, are Avodim, of course it's going to be an Eger B'Yedusa, because if he's going to have anything less than all four kosher, anything less than all six kosher, he won't win the case. And then the Baal Din Shekeneged is an Eger B'Yedusa. So that was the first suggestion in the Gemara. That was the first pshat that Rashi had. Rav Meir says that place made of Shalzeh because he holds in Sarach Levar. And the Chachamim hold he cannot pass because they hold Sarach Levar. Allah requires, you said you can bring five witnesses, all five have to be kosher. So if you're going to pass some of his Eidim, that'll be the end of the whole case. So Yamamash and Negev Yedus. According to the second shot that Rashi learned, it's just the reverse. Rav Meir says, Zeh Poisaleidim Shalzeh, Rav Meir holds Sarach Levar. He has to bring the additional kat of Eidim, but you don't require that all four Eidim should be kosher. You don't require that all six Eidim should be kosher. Even though the guy insisted to the Bezna, I can bring six Eidim who say six kosher witnesses who say that the guy owes me the money. The halacha doesn't require all six should be kosher. It just requires he should bring all of the six Eidim, all the four Eidim that he says that he can bring. But even if some of them will be pasul, as long as the two of them will, two out of the six, out of the many, will be kosher, he'll win the din teres. Since he's required to bring the rest of the Eidim anyway, so when I say now, Bezim is not going to pass him that I owe the money until he brings the other Eidim anyway. And he claims they're going to bring all six kosher Eidim, all ten kosher Eidim. So we can expect that at least two of the remaining eight Eidim are going to be kosher. So when I, with another, Huli Acher, I'm the Baal Din Shekeneged. When I with the other eight testify, yeah, your first two Eidim are Ganovim. The first two Eidim are Mechalei Shabbos. The first two Eidim are Kroivim, or they're Avodim, whatever it is. So then Rav Meir says, Zeh Poisel Eidim Shalzeh. I'm not a Baal Dofer. He's going to have anyway kosher Eidim. Rav Meir holds Sarach Levar Dvar. He's going to have to produce the other Eidim anyway. The first pshat in Rashi was Fakir. If the Din would beat Sarach Levar, then you need that all ten witnesses will be kosher. So that if the Baal Din Shekeneged passes the first two, he's mamash in a gebedover. But according to the second shot in Rashi, Tzorach Levar doesn't mean all ten Eidim that he threatens he's going to bring, that he swears he can bring, all ten have to be kosher. No, as long as two of them are kosher. So he brings two, seems to be kosher, he's winning the case. And then I, the Baal Din Shekeneged, with the other Eidim, we say, no, the first two are postulators. So Meir says, that's okay, you can believe me with the other, that's not a negeah. Tzorach Levar Dvar, he has to bring the other 10 Eidim anyway. He says he's going to bring 12 Eidim. He has to bring the other 10 anyway. And he says all the others are going to be kosher Eidim anyway. So we'll rely on the others. It's not a negeh b'yedusa. And the Chachamim say, ain't Tzorach Levar Dvar. He doesn't even have to bring the other Eidim. So it is already considered negeh b'yedusa now. He brought two Eidim now. Even though he threatens, the Knaka says he can bring another 10, but Allah says he doesn't have to bring the other 10. So since he already won the case now, he brings two Eidim. And he's winning. So if the Baal Din will be, the Baal Din Shekeneged will be believed to pass the first two Eidim, that's Mamash Negev Yedusa because the Rabbanon ain't Sarach Levar Dvar. That's the second shot.
Even if we interpret there, though, if it turns out that the other Eidim are not kosher,
So now Rashi continues to learn that was the next Shaila in the Gemara. Take a look, before the lines become wide, two lines before the lines become wide on the Aftov Gimlam and Beis. The Gemara says there's a Shaila. The Gemara says, what's the Shaila? Rabbah Meir Abbasi had a Shaila. The Gemara, Elo, the Shaila runs as follows. He brings two witnesses, and he should have won the third. And then the Baal Din Shekeneged says, with another aid, no, these witnesses are possible. And we say he's not, the Baal Din is not a Negev Yedusa because the first Baal Din says he's going to bring another 10 witnesses. And all you need are 2 out of 10 have to be kosher. So he's going to bring more. The stomach 2 out of the remaining will be kosher. So we declare that the Baal Din Shekeneged with the Eid Echad on them on him to pass the first two. Then he brings his other 10, 20, 50 witnesses. Turns out that they're all Kroiv Mapsulim. So the Gemara has a Shaila. Nims is Kachnia Kroiv Mapsulim. What if the later Eidim turn out to be Psulim Mahu? What's the din? Do I say that since Bishaita we assume that the Baal Din Shekeneged is not a Negev B'Yedusa, so his testimony was accepted Bishaita, so it's good? Or do they say, no, we made a mistake. We thought Bishaita that he's not Negev B'Yedusa. What is the big sin? What's the big deal? We'll parcel up the first two. He has another 10 witnesses to go, and among the next 10 witnesses, what are you talking? Two of them are not going to be kosher. But then it turns out that all the 12 witnesses, all the 10 that he brings later, all the 20 that he brings later, they're all psulim. And the whole case only rests on the first two. And B'Shas Maisa, we thought that the case is going to rest on later two. B'Shas Maisa, we thought that the Baal Din Shekenegel was not a Negeya. Then it turns out later he is Negeya. So what's the din in such a case? Rashi learns, that's the Shaila. Nimtzes Kachnir Kroik Mapsula Ma, what's the din? So the Gemara says, we're not so sure what the answer is. We're not so sure what the Pesach is. So the Gemara says, Omalahem, what do they ask this to? Rabbami, Rabbasi asked this to Rabdimi. Tosis points out there were four different people. Two lived in Eretz Yisrael, two lived in Bavel. They were chaver with each other. There was Rebbe Ami and Rebbe Yasi. They had smicha. They obviously lived in Eretz Yisrael because you can only confer smicha in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbami and Rabbasi were contemporaries who lived in Bavel. Rabbami, reverend. A reverend is a rabbi in Chutz Lord. A rabbi in Eretz Yisrael has real smicha. Is Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yasi. So these two are Rabbami and Rabbasi. When this Rabdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, that wasn't so often, wasn't so common that they had Divrei Torah in Bavel in the name of Rav Yechon, in the name of Resh Lakish, in the name of Rav Loza. They hardly ever knew what the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael had to say. So here Rabdimi came to Bavel and he told them all, Rav Pshat from Rav Yechon, that the issue being disputed by Rabbi and Rabban and Mishnah is the question of Tzorch Levar and Tzorch Levar. So when he gave over, Rabdini gave over this Pshat, so the two Amoroim from Bavel, Rabami, Rabasi, Esther Nakasha, Ashaila, the Esther Shaila, what's going to be if Bishas Maisa, the Baal Din Shekeneged, passes up the first Kateidim, we declare that he's not a Negeya because with Falozazach he's going to have another 10 witnesses. And it's lo yimoleit, it's not shayach that none of the 10 witnesses are going to be kosher. The stomach two or many more of them will be kosher. Then it turns out they're all no good. The last 10 witnesses are none of them good. The only two that you can rely on are the first two. And Mishas Maisa, we just allowed the Baal Din Shekeneged to testify against them. So what's the din in such a case? Omar Lahem, so Rabdimi answers back, Krahayidu Eidim Harishonim. So that's where Rashi is not sure what that means. Kfar Hayidu Eidim Harishonim means, since the first two witnesses testified, so that we're relying only on the first two, the last 10 are no good. So it's Igloi Muslim Afeli Baal Din. The Baal Din Shekeneged, the Pasal then wasn't a Gei Be'edusa. What he's saying, no, the Baal Din with the Isha Acher Imo, who Bebao Huvi Acher Lefoislam, the Baal Din with the Huvi Acher Lefoislam, they are the Eidim HaRishonim. They are believed, since B'Shas Maisa, they were believed, so we don't declare later that he's a Negeya Be'edusa. Since B'Shaita, we thought that he wasn't a Negeya. We accepted the testimony, so he remains kosher testimony even later. The Pashto says that that's the issue involved over there also. What's the Shaila? B'Shas Maisa, we didn't think, what's the din? A person testifies on a case of a din Torah, in the middle of a din imam, in this case, he testifies. And at the time that he testified, Bezman thought that he's not a Negev Eidusa. Then it turns out later, none of us realized, turned out later, that he was a Negev Eidusa. So if the nature of the Psul Negev Eidusa because of a psychological Chashash Meshaka, but at the time that he testified, we didn't think that there was any Negev. None of us knew that there's a Negev. He didn't know, no. The other guy said he's going to bring another 10 witnesses. What Shaykh and 10, a group of 10, you're not going to have two kosher witnesses. Some all 10 will be kosher. Didn't occur to anybody that all 10 are going to be fossil. The whole case will only rest on the first two. So since B'Shas Maisa, when we allowed the Baal Din Shekeneged to testify, none of us realized that he's a Negeya. If he becomes a Negeya later, ex post facto, you can't say there's a Hashash Meshach. Hashash Meshach is a psychological concern that has to be present B'Shas Maisa. But if you say not so, we say the other tzad, that the psul of Negeya is because we declare the Negeya is a Baldover. So true B'Shas Maisa, when the Baal Din with the Acher Min Ashif Lohoid on the first two Eidim, when he testified, we didn't realize that he was a Negeya. But later on we realized he was a Muslim affair. We made a mistake. He was a Baldin at the time that he testified. That's no good. So that's where Rashi is not sure how to translate this. What was the answer that Rabdidi gave? If B'Shas Maisa, when the witnesses testified, we didn't realize they were Negeya. Later it becomes ascertained later, Igloi Muslim Afer, that he really was a Negeya, B'Shas Maisa. But he himself didn't even realize it. So if it's Mishum Chashash Meshach, it'll be good. If it's Mishum Chashash Baldov, it'll be possible. That's the Gemara. So the rest of the daf we already learned last week. The Gemara had the topic of Tzorach Levara. The Gemara said, should we say that it's a Machlegis Rebbe, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Baches Kesachat? And then the Gemara backs out. The Gemara says that it's not necessarily the same. Then the Gemara has an interesting comment. This Reish Lakish was so sharp. Shlokish used to be a gangster. Before he met Rabbi Yochanan, he married his sister, and he sat and he learned. He used to be such a sharp fellow He never spoke with such tacheres about anybody, so Gemara can't believe it. All of a sudden, he speaks about Rav Meir, he says, how can the holy mouth of Rav Meir say it's a pastor for someone else? How does a Shlokish speak such a language? Or a Shlokish says on the Mishnah, Pek Kodesh Eich Yomad Ovezeh, how can the holy mouth of the holy Tana Rav Meir say such a thing? Zeh Poiseleidav Shalzeh. So the Gemara says that it doesn't seem to be in character. Gufa, around 10 lines from the top of Chavdalim, Alf Gufa Amar Shlokish Pek Kodesh. Come and see the way Talmidei Chacham, who are very sharp when they disagree, when they talk and learning, they're very sharp in their language, but still, when it comes to being mechaber another Talmidei Chacham, they lose their sharpness and they speak with big derech eretz. So the Gemara tells a story that Rabbi Yudah Anasi was the chief rabbi, and during the lifetime of Rabbi Yossi was another Tana, Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta was kofuf to Rabbi Yudah Anasi. He always gave respect to Rabbi Yudah Anasi. Rabbi Yossi passed away, so he had a son, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi, who was also a Tana, a famous Tana, who was also a kofuf to Rabbi Yudah Anasi. Rabbi Yudah Anasi was bigger than both the father and the son. So Shaila came up, Aloha Lamaise, what's the din of Hatmana B'tzayna? We know that the rabbis prohibited Hatmana B'chanan, and Masechah Shabbos and Mishnah is 24 chapters. So there's one whole chapter, one whole period. And Masechah Shabbos is dedicated to the laws of Hatmana. Not all the laws are found in that period, it's all over the Masechta. But at least there's one of the 24 chapters dedicated. It's a prohibition in Nisa the Rabbanon that there's a prohibition in Nisa Hatmana on Erev Shabbos, and there's on Shabbos it's more chomer, of course, than on Erev Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to be matmen. If you have a pot of food where the food was cooked in this pot, this is the cleavage in which it was cooked. If I cook the food in this pot and I empty it into another pot, then there's no issue. The Gemara says there's no prohibition of Hatmana when it's in a... and makes the food hotter and hotter. It just gives off heat, so it's going to take a longer time for the food to cool down. Sometimes the taki gives off heat, then it makes the food inside hotter and hotter, but most of the time that moifus is not going to happen. Just something that doesn't always give off heat. Some of these things are sometimes moifus hevel. Once in a while they're moifus hevel. So the Mishnah lists off a whole bunch of things that are moifus hevel, so that's prohibited on Erev Shabbos. On Shabbos, this gzera d'rabbanon is mochomer. So not only are you not permitted to be matmin the food if the food is still in the creation in which it was cooked, not only is it also to be matmin it, if the thing that you wrapped around it is a davar hamoisiv hevel that gives off heat, even if it's just mamid hevel, even if it just retains heat, let's say you wrap it around with towels and sheets, let's say it happens every so often. The balabasta left the soup on the fire, the husband is davening Kabbalah Shabbos and Mincha Maariv Shul, and she realizes the fire. and makes the food hotter and hotter. It just gives off heat, so it's going to take a longer time for the food to cool down. Sometimes the taki gives off heat and it makes the food inside hotter and hotter, but most of the time that moifus is not going to happen. Just something that make it doesn't always give off heat. Some of these things are sometimes moifus hevel. Once in a while they're moifus hevel. So the Mishnah lists off a whole bunch of things that are moifus hevel. So that's prohibited on Erev Shabbos. On Shabbos, this gzera de rabbanon is mochomer. So not only are you not permitted to be makmin the food if the food is still in the kareishin in which it was cooked, not only is it also to be matmin it, if the thing that you wrapped around it is a dava hamoisiv hevel that gives off heat, even if it's just mamid hevel, even if it just retains heat, let's say you wrap it around with towels and sheets, let's say it happens every so often. The balabasta left the soup on the fire, the husband is davening Kabbalah Shabbos and Mincha Ma'arvim Shul, and she realizes the fire went off. There's no fire. So the fire went off, she doesn't want the whole house to be full of gas, so she closes off the gas. Okay. Turn off the gas. If the fire is off anyway, turn off the gas. Hashayla for muktzah, maybe the nab is muktzah, so let's say she'll do with her elbow. Okay. So there's no gas in the house. But now she's afraid the husband is going to come home. They're going to have cold soup. By the time he's going to come home, it's going to be cold soup. So what can you do? What can you not do? So if it's still Erev Shabbos, even though she was Mekabel Shabbos, or if it's even Bein HaShmoshes, let's say the first 20 minutes after Shkia is Bein HaShmoshes, let's say for argument's sake, 20, 25 minutes, so then you're only forbidden to cover over the pots with the Dova HaMoisiv Hevel. But let's say I'll take just, the Baal HaBasta will take towels, sheets, whatever, and cover over the pot all around and around, that it should preserve the heat. It should preserve the heat. So that's only Dova HaMamid Hevel. So to do that on Erev Shabbos, or even Bein HaShmoshes, the Mishnah says, it's Muta LaHatmin with Dova HaMamid Hevel. What if it's ready after Tzeisar Pechavim? It's already half an hour after the Shkia, it's already Tzeisar Pechavim, and the husband is going to, till he's going to come home, till he's going to sing Eishes Chayil and all the Hachonis, and whatever he says is going to take another hour and a half, and the soup is going to be cold by the time he gets to drink the soup. So then if she's going to be Matmin, even if it's only Dava HaMamid Hevel, that's Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. They prohibited this, the Gemara says, both did Gzeirah for the same reason, except that on Shabbos they were Machmin more than on Erev Shabbos. Both are for the same reason. Gzeirah Shema Yatmin Bo Remetz. Remetz, Reish Mem Tzadik, means burning hot coals. We're afraid that someone may leave the pot in burning hot coals. And then Gzeirah Shema Yichata B'Gechom. If you have a pot of food sitting in hot coals, all you have to do is give a poke around in the coals and you'll be in a violation of a double malach. The Gemara says increases that Raisam Hachoita B'Gechom. If someone pushes coals around, there's a possibility that he's both in violation of Mechaba and Mavir. Some of the coals that were red will now become black, so the flame will be extinguished, and other coals that are black will become red, and that will be Havorah. So you'll be both in Vachayiv Shtayim, because of the Shogeg, he has to bring two Chatos, one for violation of Mechaba, one violation of Mavir. So the Chachamim were so concerned about this Chasha, Shema Yatmin Baremis, Shema Yechata B'Gecholim, so they prohibited all forms of Hatmana. They said Hatman on Shabbos is also, even if it's only Dova HaMamid Hevel, and Hatman on Erev Shabbos, that's more cow, so they said only if it's a Dova HaMoisiv Hevel. And Bein HaShmoshes is Lahakim. The Mishnah in Rabbi Madlik lists off Bein HaShmoshes, some of the dinim has Lechum, some of the dinim has Lekula. So this is one of the dinim that you go Lekula. Bein HaShmoshes of Erev Shabbos, you make of that it only has the prohibition of Hatman, like Erev Shabbos, it doesn't have the Yisr of Dova HaMamid Hevel. So the Shaila is, What if it's a reverse hatmana? When they prohibited hatmana, what if it's the reverse? For example, I have something cold, and I want to prevent it from becoming hot. I'm afraid it's a hot, sunny day, middle of December, a hot, sunny day. And you're afraid that the cold food is going to become warm. So you want to put it into a bowl, you want to put it in the middle of cold things to maintain the cold all around. So they say, Hatmana, it's Hatmana, whenever you want to put some food which is in a pot into a, surrounded with something to retain its same state. Either it's hot, you want to retain the heat, or it's cold, and you want to retain the cold. So that's the prohibition of Hatmana. You say, no, what does it got to do? Hatmana is only also, if it's hot, you want to preserve the heat. Shema Yatma Brehme, Shema Yechata B'Gecholim. They didn't make such a loyplug Rabbanan anytime there's food in a pot. It only applies in the one direction, not in the other. So that's the topic that the Gemara has discussed. So they asked the Shaila, what's the din? Is it Mutal Hatman B'Tzayim? So Rebbe, they asked the Shaila of Rebbe, And Rebbe said, Asa. Rebbe said, you're not allowed. Rebbe Yudah Nasi thought that it was a wide, the scope of the Gzeirah, even though the Tama Gzeirah doesn't make any sense, it doesn't fit in the case of Hatmona B'Tzayim. The whole Chashash only applies to Hatmona B'Cham and Shem Yadim B'Remes, V'Shem Yichad B'Gichon. Still, he holds a Loitlug Rabbanon, so they extended it so far, even Hatmona B'Tzayim. So when Rebbe said that it's Osir, so Rebbe Shmuel B'Rabbi Yossi, who is Kofuf to Rebbe Yudah Nasi, will never open his mouth, somehow he blurted out at that occasion, but my father once said that it's Mutzah. But his father was also Kofuf to Rebbe Yudah Nasi. My father once said that it's Mutter. So Rebbe said, oh, Ibazo, your father said Mutter, Pahir is Akin. So the rabbi, he had already passed away. So his father said, it's Mutter, it's Mutter. I back out. So Rebbe Yudah Nasi backed out from the Mishnah. That's how we pass on Allah Kala Maisa. Like Rebbe Shmuel, like Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Ben Chalafta. We don't pass on like Rebbe. But originally Rebbe held that it should be also that the Loi Klug even extends further. But then Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Yossi said, my father said Mutter. The Rebbe said, okay, showing you Paskin, I retract my statement. I back out, let's leave it that it's Mutter. So the Gemara says he didn't have to back out, but because Tamil Chachamim, the Chabad Vim says, so he felt it's not right to impose this Chumra. If the Tanner of Yeshi said Mutter, so let it remain Mutter. So the Gemara quotes the same to explain Rish Lakish. The Rish Lakish was very sharp. He would never withhold his position. He would always express himself in the sharpest language. But still, when he talks about the Tanner of Meir, Mechabim says this, so he refers to him as the Tech Kaddish. How can the holy mouth of Rav Meir say such a thing that doesn't make any sense with such big derech? He should have said, Rav Meir is wrong, it doesn't make any sense. He didn't say like that. There used to be a famous Talmud Chacham in New York many years ago. I never knew him, it was before my time, but they say over the language that he used to say when he said a Shabbos HaGodol Drosha, a Shabbos Shul Drosha, he used to talk on a Rambam and a Raib, he says, the Rambam Zot, and then say the Rambam. Then he says, Kum de Raib in a Gittin, mit Tadubina Ibrin Kop. He bops him over the head. Halosh. So that's what the Gemara says, that even if you want to disagree with someone, you don't say with such a language, you don't say Megitim et Adubin Ibrahim Kap. Say Asher Ramah. Say Asher. Here. Rameh Asher Shikir Rameh. So then the Gemara speaks about the general style. This leads the Gemara into speaking about the general difference in style of learning between the Talmid HaChachamim Sheh Bavel as opposed to the Talmid HaChachamim Sheh Be'eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara quotes from the Nevuah of Zechariah. Rashi writes on the opening pasuk in the Navi Zechariah that it's the most difficult Navi. The Nevi'im always had a haloim, they had a vision, they had a dream, and then they had to interpret what's the meaning of the dream. So the most difficult haloimis, the most difficult nevuas are those of Zechariah. A lot of times we don't know what the Chalal is talking about. Whatever the Midrash and the Gemara tell us, that we understand. Whatever the Gemara doesn't tell us, a lot of times we don't even get to first base. We don't know what the Nevi'im are talking about. So here, Also difficult nevuah, but at least the Gemara has something over here. The Navi is told that he should take two branches of a tree, one of them two maklos, and one of them he calls makl noam, and one of them he calls makl chovlam. Noam means pleasant, sweet, and chovlam means fighting with each other. What is it supposed to represent? So nobody knows. So the Gemara gives you a little bit of an insight, that the nevuah of Zechariah somehow was showing him that there are going to be two styles of learning. They're going to be Talmid HaChacham Sheh B'Bavel and Talmid HaChacham Sheh Be'eretz Yisrael. Talmid HaChacham Sheh Be'eretz Yisrael are mani'imim zeh lezeh b'halacha. They're pleasant and they're sweet to each other. They're not so confrontational. They don't fight everything else. How can you say this and this, that? They don't keep on arguing with each other. Somehow everybody gets together and with sweetness and pleasantness and unity, they come to a maskan. And Talmid HaChacham Sheh B'Bavel are chovlin. They're always fighting with each other and always disagreeing with each other, and that's the way they come up with the Psak Halacha. What is this all about? What is that? What is that all about? You mean they were miserable people? They had miserable personalities. That's perhaps the Poshup Shat. So the Netziv says that he doesn't think that that's what it means at all. He says, look at the last line right before the Mishnah, where the Talmud Bavli has such a derogatory comment regarding Talmud Bavli. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Echob chapter Gimel. That the Rebbeinu Shlom put us into a dungeon like dead people. You sit in a dungeon for a year, you're like dead. So what is that an allusion to? That's Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli is like dead people. What kind of a language is that? Do Talmud Shabbat.
The word Kedushin also mentioned by Shaydab Shoyman Bashar.
About disputing, fighting with each other, right? Mechablim zelazeh. That's a comment. common expression about fighting. Melchamta shel Torah. A lot of times in the Midrashim and the Gemaras. Yeah. What does this mean over here? B'machshakim hoshivani. From the bottom of the page, right below the Rashi, before the, in between the Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel, they quote from the Shaloh HaKadosh. A pirish masok, a sweet interpretation of this Gemara. What does it mean? That the machshakim hoshivani kimeis di'olam, they put people in a dungeon which is very deep. It's very dark and very deep, and you can't even see how deep it is because it's so dark. So Talmud Bavli is very deep. So the Talmud Bavli is praising the Talmud Bavli. How deep it is, like the depth of the dungeon. You want to make sure that the criminal doesn't climb out. If the dungeon is not going to be too deep, so he's just going to jump out of the, just climb on the walls and get out. So you have to make sure that it's 10 feet deep. So Talmud Bavli is very, very deep. That's how it says on the bottom of the page. Okay. So the Netziv has in his introduction to the Shiltis, that he calls the Kidmas HaEmek. The beer on the Shiltis is called the Haimek Sha'ola. And the introduction he calls the Hakdama is called the Kidmas HaEmek. So his introduction has a little bit to do with the Shiltis, not really so much. He mentions the Shiltis in the middle, in the context of the development of the whole Torah Shemal Peh. So he talks, Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah HaSinai, he talks about the Torah Shemal Peh developing from generation to generation, getting bigger and bigger and growing, and every later generation is building on the earlier generation. So he discusses, how do they develop? How do they read in between the lines? How do they get all this Torah Shemal Peh? So he says, the Midrash HaTorah Nedreshes is then fine. Then he says, that's why the Rabban Shalom required that the Sanhedrin, it was the charge of the Sanhedrin that they should be the ones to transmit the Torah Shabbat Peh from generation to generation. That's the opening statement in the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, Per Kalach Halacha Aleph. There's Nagodol as the Amudi HaHairah, the Ikat Torah Shabbat Peh. They have the obligation to transmit the Torah. And we require the Sanhedrin should be Samach L'Mizbeah. Sanhedrin has to meet in the Lishkas HaGozis in the Beis HaMikdash. What's that all about? So the Rambam HaChumash writes that they should have Ashuras HaShchina, that they should have a Siyag Dishmai, divine assistance to paskin properly. So divine assistance is like a shtickle like Nevuah, not an outright Nevuah, but it's a lower level of Ruach HaKodesh, something like that. So that's not going to be with writing a whole Shaila Tshuva like people do today. Maybe the Pshat is like this, maybe it's like that, there's a Gemara here, there's a Gemara Fakir. It's going to be a very pleasant stuff. And even when you no longer have the Sanhedrin and Lishkas HaGozis, you don't have such a strong Ashuras HaShchina Mamish. The Lishkas HaGozis, the Gemara says in Yuma, it was a big room. It was chetzi, a room, not so big. It was room chetzi b'kodesh v'chetzi b'chol. Half of the room had Kedushas HaZor, and you weren't allowed to sit in that half. The other half, with the Sanhedrin sat, Kichatzi Goran Agula, they sat in a semicircle, 71 members of the Sanhedrin HaGdoilah. So that half was chol, and the other half of the exact same room was Kodesh, Mamish. They sat in a room that was half Kedushas HaZor, in order to have the Ashuras HaShchina assist them in passing properly. Even the Tamina Chachamim, and the rest of Eretz Yisrael, all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Hashuas HaShchina. So there was always a Siyaita Dishmaya Hashuas HaShchina, the Paskin Alochas properly. So that was Manimim Zelazer Ba'alochas. We're not talking about the personality of the rabbinic scholars, that these were rough people, and these were sweetie pies. No, we're talking about how did they figure out the dinim. So in Eretz Yisrael, they had a Siyaita Dishmaya to figure out the din in a pleasant way. With Ashuras HaShchina. All of Eretz Yisrael has a certain level of Ashuras HaShchina. In Bavel, there ain't no Ashuras HaShchina. It's B'machshakim Hoshivani Kimeisei Yoylam is a description of the Golas Bavel. Golas Bavel is Chutzalorz. Chutzalorz is finster v'dinach, finster like a dungeon. It's so dark there, there's no Ashuras HaShchina. So how are you going to figure out a psak? You have to matazichen, work hard. With Pilpula Shel Torah, that's what he keeps on referring to, Pilpula Shel Torah. You have to work out all the possibilities, logical possibilities. Is it like this? No, it's upgefrekt from that din. Is it like that? No, is it right? Not Gemara Faket. Is it like this? A Mishnah Faket, a Tesepta Faket, a Tzais Faket. Until you figure out the din, you write a long tshuva. Years ago in Eretz Yisrael, the Yeska Shad, and the tshuva is Mutam. Awesome, Shad. Finish. One line tshuva, you look at the tshuva, one line tshuva. In the later generations, the less Ashuas HaShchina that you have, so the longer the tshuvas become, because you have to work out with more Pilpula Shel Torah. So he says the Gemara is not talking about the personalities of the scholars, contrasting the Rabbonim and Bavel with the Rabbonim and Netzer. They're talking about the Ashuas HaShchina, which was existent in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't happen in Bavel, so they had to have a different style of learning. He claims, we must have mentioned this once before, he claims that that must be the reason. He says no one ever tells you the reason why. The Pasuk says in Divrei HaYomim, Yoshio HaMelech, who lived before the Churban Bayis Rishon, quite a few years before, Yoshiyahu HaMelech was going as the Oroin with the Luchas in the basement of the Bais Rishon. What did he do that for? Why was he going as the Oroin? Was he concerned that there may be a war any day when the enemy may come and capture the Oroin with the Luchas, they may steal it, they may destroy it? That's what he was afraid of. He says he doesn't think so. The Psukim don't say, and Divrayam doesn't say that that was his concern. It doesn't say. It says something else, and it's unclear what it says. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Yume quotes Yoshiyahu HaMelech. The Gemara says the whole Bayis Rishon, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, went and he did the Hazoras in front of the Oron. Achaz l'mala b'sheva l'mata. And then the Bayis Sheni, he did the Hazoras in front of the spot where the Oron used to be. And how did he know where the spot was? There was the Evesh HaSeir, which represented the location where the Oron used to be. And who was going as the Oron with the Luchas? When did it change? The Gemara says not at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon. Years before, Yoshiyahu HaMelech was going as the Oron with the Luchas, as it says in the Psukim in Divrei Yomim. What prompted him to do that? So it's a deep, dark secret. So the Netziv suggests his interpretation of the Psukim in Divrei Yomim. He knew that there was coming a Golus. They all knew. The Nevi'im kept on telling him. Yishai, Yom, Yecheskel, they're all telling him that there's a Churban Bayis Rishon is on the way, and there's going to be a Golus bubble. They're going to have to go. So he wanted Bnei Yisrael, he wanted the Rabbonim to start preparing themselves now for the new Derech HaLimud. They're going to be so used to the old Derech HaLimud, you just sit and you think about the din, and you get a Siyaita Nishmaya in the Azorah, or anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. They have such a Hashuas Hashchin, and you come up with the answer, 1, 2, 3. They're going to be so hit with a shock, they're going to go into bubble, they're going to have a Shaila. They'll be lost. They won't know how to begin to work out. So he was going as the Luchas, to begin the Churban Bayis Rishon, in a certain sense, that they should begin the new Derech HaLimud now to prepare themselves for the future. That's the Netziv's suggestion. So in the context of that long, the whole Hakdom of the Netziv to the Shiltis is really the description of the development of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and then he gives Tanoim and Amaroim, and then he says the Goyim, the Shiltis, he tries to say where the Shiltis fits in, and the Rambam follows many times the Shiltis against the others, but he's the whole picture, it's not really so much about the Shiltis, very little, one paragraph, but the 30 pages of the rest, 30 pages with a little atheist, the whole long Agdama is about the whole development. So this is part of his understanding of the development of the Torah Shebaal Peh. He quotes these two Gemaras, Amizdav, Chav Dalet and Aleph, the two Gemaras. The Gemara had right before that, my Bavel, three lines before the Mishnah. Why did we call it Talmud Bavli? What's the connotation? It was composed in Bavel. It was worked out by the Talmud Chachamim in Bavel. So what's an additional connotation of the word Bavel? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because it's Belula B'Mikra, Belula B'Mishnah, Belula B'Talmud. Is everything all wrapped in together, everything blended in together. What does that mean? Is there any significance to that statement? So the Top Tosis has the famous comment of the Rabbeinu Tam that was the position of the Chachmei Ashkenaz. The Rambam quotes the Din, and the Gemara Tosis quotes it. It says from Avodah Zarah, from Kiddushin. The Gemara says, "Li'olam Yishalosh Adam Shnoisav Shlish B'Mikra Shlish B'Mishnah Shlish B'Talmud." You always have to learn 1/3 Tanakh, Mikra is Tanakh, 1/3 Psak Halacha L'Maisa, Mishnah is Psak Halacha, and 1/3 Talmud is Tulpula Shal Torah, to understand the ins and the outs of the Halacha in order to understand how you arrive at a conclusion. How do you pass the Rishon? So there's a Machloikas of Rishon, and what does that mean? Yishalo Shalom Shnois, what does it mean? So the Rambam gives you hours, definite hours. He says, let's say the fellows of Baal Malach, he has to work for a living, so he only has 9 hours a day to learn. That's the Rambam, right? It's never a Baal Malach, he only has 9 hours a day to learn. So he says the fellow has to spend 3 hours a day on Tanakh, and 3 hours a day on Pesach Halacha L'Maaseh Mishnah, and 3 hours a day on Talmud. Not for the rest of his life. Once he's already mastered, the Rambam understands that it's not a din in 3 hours, yeah, not you divide your time. Not that's how much time you should spend. The total knowledge that you have in your head of Torah should be 1/3 of all of your knowledge should be Tanakh, 1/3 of all of your knowledge should be Psak Halacha, and 1/3 should be to know the ins and the outs of Pilpula Shel Torah Shebaal Peh, what we call Gemara Talmud. So he says, let's say the person already knows the whole Tanakh. Everybody knows the whole Tanakh. Everybody knows Psak Halacha. So there's no need to spend 1/3 of his time on that. So let him spend more time on in the other area where he's not so, where he's less familiar. So that in the end, he will have the sum total of all of his knowledge will be divided equally. Most people don't have divided equally. Most people are experts, those who are already into learning. Most are experts in Gemara, they don't even know which Chumash and the Chamisha Chamshater, they don't know all the names of the Nevi'im, they don't know. Other people are experts in Novi, they don't know so much Tanakh, they don't know so much Gemara. Other people are experts in Halacha, Pesach, Halacha, they don't know so much Tanakh, they don't know so much Talmud. So the Din, according to the Rambam, the Din requires that a person should know one third of his total knowledge should be A, B, and C. The way to accomplish that is usually by spending one third of your time on A, one third of your time on B, one third of your time on C, until you reach a certain point, the Rambam describes when you no longer have to emphasize equal time, so then you spend more time on the areas that you're weaker on to maintain this balance of one third of your knowledge of the ABC. The Balei HaTesis did not understand like that, because the Balei HaTesis, here Tesis quotes, Balei HaTesis quotes from the Goyinim, that they used to say Birchas HaTorah every day, and right after Birchas HaTorah they would say, the Yekkes do like that. They don't say Birchas HaTorah after Mekadosh HaShimcha V'Rabim, then they have the next tefillah, Atuhu, Shemayim, Lugoris, Vishma, Shemayim, again, then again, Kapti Eschim, Keter, Vishuv Yeshu, Seichem, Renechem, Amar Hashem, then they say Birchas HaTorah after that. That was Rashi. Rashi, the Balei HaTorah, that's what they did. They said Birchas HaTorah right after that, then they say right away, Yivrech Hashem, Yishmerecho. Then they say Parshas HaTomim. So you're already Yotze Shlish the Mikra for the whole day. But this Shmek Tabik, the half a minute of Chumash that you said, 5 times Sukkim, already Yotze Shlish the Mikra. Then you say a Perik Ezel Mekamim, you're already Yotze Yishlish the Mishnah. Then you say the Brisa Rebbe Shmuel, you're Yotze Yishlish the Talmud. And then the rest of the day, you can't sit and twiddle your thumbs. If you have more time, free time, you have to learn more. Whatever you want, you can learn. You're free to choose whatever you want. But I yank it, Mishnah Brewer, Kitzer, Chayonim, Tanakh, whatever you want to learn, Gesundheit, choose whatever you want. Tosis quotes from the Goyinim, there's no halacha of Yishalish that you have to have equal time in order to lead up to equal amounts, that you should have your knowledge in all three areas, three chalke HaTorah should be equal, one third of your total knowledge should be in, Tachreinim point this out, one third of your total knowledge should be in Tanakh, one third should be in Halacha, Pesach Halacha, one third in Tepul Shalter. No, just it's a din in Kviyas Yitim Latar. There's a din, every person has to be Kavei Yitim Latar a little bit every day, so there's a bare minimum, you have to have Kviyas Yitim Latar, a Shmek Tabik every day in Tanakh, a Shmek Tabik every day a little bit in Pesach Halacha, and a little bit of Shmek Tabik in Talmud, then the rest of the day, you're free to learn whatever you choose. So with that understanding of the Balei HaTesis, and now they go further and they say, if you learn your Daf Yomi every day, you write to everything, not exactly Daf Yomi, sometimes you have a Daf in Gemara where there's no Postic mention. Let's say, Bob Mitzi, you can go Daf and Daf and Daf. A lot of times, Bob Vasa, Cheskes HaBad, can go many Daf, Lot Gemara, no Postic in sight at all. But they didn't learn Daf Yomi. They, Mustama, they learned the 10th letter day or something. When they originally started the Daf Yomi, many Chassidish Rebbes were opposed to it, because the Chassidim are learning more than a Blat Gemara a day. So they said, this is a Churban HaTorah. They were attacking it. This is a Churban HaTorah. Remember, there used to be the Talta Chana, Rav. What was his name? Stein. They grabbed Stein, Zechon Rav. From Benson, so he was once saying it as Siyam of the Daf Yomi, and then in the summertime, in Tannisville. So he's speaking in his scene, he said he was a young teenager when he was learning Lublina Yeshiva, when his Rebbe, Lublina Rav, declared this idea of Daf Yomi, and they should begin. So on his way back from the Knesset Gedolah, he stopped off in a village for Shabbos, and he's there, Chassidish village. He says, by Shalosh Shuvos time, the Rebbe, the Chassidish Rebbe of that village, he said the Rebbe was attacking the Daf Yomi, Gefela, something terrible. And the Chassidim, he was in the back of the whole crowd, so the Chassidim were shushking with each other. What is it, Daf Yomi? What's he talking about? So one of the Chassidim said, they never heard of it. What is it? So one of them said, it's a new sefer that the Lublina Rav just put out. So the other one said, what's so big? What's the attack? So he says, I saw it with my own eyes, full of apikursis on every page. But he said, they didn't know what it was. But he said, the real reason why they were attacking him, because their Hasidim used to learn, they had plenty of time, they had no television, they had no theaters, they had no dinners. You don't have to go to any dinners. And they had time, they said, no other entertainment. So they said, the Beis Medrash, and they learned one blot, another blot, another. They learned more than one blot Gemara. So the Rebbes were very opposed. This is the Churban HaTorah, this Daf Yomi is going to destroy all the learning. Now, it turned out that the Lublina Rav had quite an insight. He saw that times are going to come, Daf Yomi is going to be a challenge to succeed in learning one blot a day. It's going to be gevaldik. But in the days of the Balei HaTesis family, they didn't learn one blot a day. They also learned a lot. So that's what the Rabbi Natan says with his understanding of Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. Doesn't mean like the Rambam quotes, that one third of your total knowledge should be A and B and C. A little bit every day, Kli Yisit Malatar. So he says, if you learn Talmud Bavli every day, a chunk, If you learn a few blot every day, you will have to, you will inevitably have to come upon some psukim, discuss a little bit from Tanakh somewhere. Here we discuss a little bit from Zechariah, a little bit from Eicha. You will come upon some psukim, you will come upon some psak, halacha l'maisa, bottom line of maskana, and you will have to pull a shelter of the ins and the outs. So if you learn a shtickle gemara, a significant chunk of gemara every day, you'll be yotze the shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'talmud. This is why by the Chachmei Ashkenaz, they were more or less weak in Tanakh, because they always followed this Rabbein and Tam. So in Shulchan Aruch, you have in a few places like that. The Mechaber writes, l'moshel, in Hilchas Shechita, the Mechaber writes, the Shochtim have to be Bnei Torah, they have to know Tanakh. So there are more rights, what do they have to know Tanakh? Even the Rabbonim didn't know Tanakh by the Ashkenaz. The Shochet has to know Tanakh. Or the Mechaber writes in Hilchas Tvila, that's in Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef in the Dark Mosh, or in Hilchas Tvila, the Mechaber writes, the Chazan, the Baal Tvila has to know Tanakh, you know, to say the Piyutim, it has to be Rogel in the Lashonis, all the Piyutim, everything comes from Tanakh. So the Rambam says, not so necessary. Not so important that the Baal Tvila has to know Tanakh, the Rabbonim didn't know Tanakh. And in Hilchas Talmud Torah, they have again the Machlokes repeated. Chabad quotes over the Rambam, he understood the Gemara Kipshuta, one third of your total knowledge should be this, one third that. And one third the other part. And then the Rambam says, we don't do that. We just do like the Rabbi Natan. We just do Talmud Babli. And we always see everything with that. That was the Machloikis, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I hardly ever learned any Yerushalmi. The little Yerushalmi that I learned, I had the impression it was also the same as Babli. I don't know. So why should I don't know. It's a very good question. Maybe we'll start the next mission. Okay. This Mishnah is the Machlokes that we were referring to all along from Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Omaloi, you have two parties and they want to have a Din Torah. So let's say they choose a certain dine. They'd like to have that dine, but that dine is related to one of the two Baladinim. So naturally he'll probably favor his relative. What if they both say, notwithstanding, we accept Neman Alai Abba, I accept my father as the Dayan, or as an aid, doesn't make a difference, the Dayan and aid. Kroivim Apsulim both the Aedis and the Dayanis. So he says, Neman Alai Abba, I accept my father. Neman Alai Avicha, or in another case, I accept your father as a Dayan or as an aid. Or they say, Nemanim Alai Shlosha Roei Boka, we accept the Dayanim have to be Talmid HaChamim. So let's say they accept Amei Horetz. Roy Boker are Amei Horetz. They don't know how to learn. So the psulim l'dayim, but they're mekabelim. So the mayor says, Yochel Achzba, you can back out. If you're unhappy with the psak, you can back out. The Chacham Mamrin, any Yochel Achzba. Or the same thing in the following case. Kosher Eidim, Kosher Dayonim, but the psak of the maskon of the bezin is that if Reuben swears, he wins, and if he doesn't swear, he wins. How does he have to swear? Is to put his hand on a chumish, the Kitas Chayfetz, has to hold the chumash and put his hand on the Bible, has to swear, I swear that I don't owe the money, I swear that he owes me the money, whatever, I swear the facts are X, Y, Z, and therefore he owes me the money. So that's a scary thing, to swear holding on to a Sefer Torah, it's an Aver Hamur. What if he says, what if the other one says, accept upon yourself a curse. You say, I should drop dead if it's not true what I'm saying. That's not a shvuah. He's mekabel klala on himself. So that shouldn't be accepted up the Allah. That's not the shvuah. That's not a shvuah sadayon. Nonetheless, if he accepts such a, that both parties agree that if he'll use a substitute for the shvuah that's required, so then the chachamim say any yachal asa. But that's what they agree to. You can't back out. And Rameh says no, you can still back out. So the Gemara now has a whole discussion. This is a shaila. What kind of a din is this? We have rules and regulations in the Tanakh and the Shulchan Aruch. What do you mean? He wants to accept his father. The Halacha says the father is pasul eidus, the father is pasul dayonis, and this is not a valid form of ishvodul l'chay reshecha. I swear by my life. He's mekabel klol on himself. Chay roshi. I should die if it's not true what I'm saying. That's not acceptable. So what do you mean? How can they replace the din hatzer? So what's going on here? So the pashtus is. The Achrayim, Rabbi Yosef Engel, in the Gilyon Ashasi, quotes Machrayim, they word it. What's going on here? Isn't this a Masna Masha Kasba Torah? How can they change the laws of the Torah? So the Achrayim say, no, not Masna Masha Kasba Torah. We're talking about Dini Mominus here. Whatever they agree to, let's say the Din is the Bezin Paskins, you owe me the money. And I say, I'm Meichel the money, you don't have to pay. I'm Meichel. You can be moichel the money. See, you can make any commitment, any obligation, any outside obligation you want. We're not distorting the laws of the Torah. The laws of the Torah still remain that kreivim are not kosher ladies, and amehorets are not kosher to serve as dayonim, and a shvuah has to be a bona fide shvuah. This is not according to the laws of the Torah. So the question is, but in order to make an obligation legally binding, let's say I say, I like you very much, I'll give you a matona, $1 million. I just made a deal this morning. I was a sandik by a bris. So I told the son, I thanked the father of the baby. He says, son, because the school of Hashem, so he says, he wants a share in the yeshivas. He says, when I get rich. I said, I believe that. Okay. So the shaila is, how do you make that legally binding? How do you say that? Someone else there said that the stipel has said somewhere that Hashivas and Torah, you'll be mechadish a lot of Torah. So he said, how can you give him the Korech HaChidosh? How exactly will I be able to give over to the Yaveh Abeh and the Korech HaChidosh? Okay, Hashem. So let's say I say, I like you, I'm going to give you $1 million. And then I change my mind. How do you make that legally binding that I have to give you the money? So the Rambam stands out. The Rambam and the Ran say, if I just say, I obligate myself to give you money, Din says, I'm obligated and I got to pay. None of the other Rishonim agree, just the Rambam and the Ran. The Ketzos found it so hard to believe, the Ketzos and Simon Men, he reinterpreted the Rambam. He says, it can't be, the Rambam never meant it. He reinterprets it. The Pashtus is the Rambam says. Even according to the Rambam, that there is such a thing, the Rambam is also asking, if I make it Allah Tanai, if I say, I hereby obligate myself to give you $1 million out of the clear blue sky based on nothing, because I like you, that's what I'm going to give you. So then the Rambam says, you're obligated and there's no way to back at it. Later you go to court and you admit that you said, I obligate, even though no kinyan was made. But what happens if I say, I obligate myself to give you $1 million if the bezin, if it snows tomorrow? And then it does snow tomorrow. Let's say it does snow tomorrow. The Rambam says, not mechuyiv. If you obligate yourself with no strings attached, with no tanai, but if you have a hischaibis alatanai, hischaibis gedvar malatanai, the Rambam holds that that's called asmachta. No one else learns asmachta, we'll have to get to the sugi of asmachta, is the very next daf, taka chav dalva and abeish, learn for chav hemanal. We have to discuss, the Rambam is a whole different sheet than asmachta. The Bonle Goyen says, the mocker of the Rambam is in the Sefer Mecha Chamemkal, the Rafai Goyen, a whole different sheet. But let's say Hanegeh in this case, I say, we're having a din Torah, and we're accepting Pasala Eidim, Pasala Dayanim, a non-acceptable Shvur. So what does it mean in effect? I say, if the business, I accept upon myself the obligation to pay you the money, if the business says that I owe you the money. So if I would have said, I accept upon myself the obligation to pay you the $500, period, Sof Pasuk, then the Rambam would say, I have to pay. But I didn't say that. I said, I accept upon myself an obligation to pay if the Bezin sees fit, if the Bezin passes, if you say if, then the Rambam is also asking that you have to make some kind of a kinyan. You don't make a kinyan, the Rambam is already the same as all the other regular Rishonim, the same as the normal Rishonim, that Eschaibus is not called the Dvarim alone. So you have to make a Kabbalah kinyan, you have to make a Eschaibus. So Rav Meir is Dachrai. What do you mean? He can back out. I say, I'm going to pay you. If the Bezin says I have to pay, I'm going to pay. Or if you swear this kakai shvua, that's not a valid shvua, duli v'chai rashecha, if you swear, then I'm going to pay. Then you swear, and then say, I back out, I changed my mind. I never made a Kabbalah's kinyan. You have to make either kinyan suder, you give me a handkerchief or a kli, and I say, by my accepting the kli, I hereby obligate myself to pay you. That's a kinyan. Or I write a shtar. I write, I hereby obligate myself to pay you in the event that the Bezin says I have to pay. And I give you the documents. So a shtar can create his chayus, but if there's no shtar, and there's not Kabbalah's kinyan suda. So what's to create this chayus? It's Allah Tanai over here. Even the Rambam agrees that you need a kinyan. That's the problem. That's the problem. So one opinion in the Gemara is, so Rav Meir is Zachrai, the Chacham don't make any sense. How come the Chachamim say any Yochel Aksabo? Why is any Yochel Aksabo? It's not legally binding over here. So the first view in the Gemara is that the only time the Chachamim say any Yochel Aksabo is only the Machalach Machlechus. Take a look at the second line into the Gemara, right after the Mishnah. Amar Rav Yudah Meshmuel. Shmuel says, Machlech is the Machalach. The only time the Chachamim say that it's legally binding is if the Taveya says, if the Bezin will say that you're Potter, so I won't press any charges. So then Bezin says Potter. So then I say, I changed my mind. I'm going to bring it to a different Bezin. This was the apostle of Bezin, the father, the uncle, the brother, Eidechad, Amihoritz. So they passed in Potter. So I said, I'm Michael. If they'll say Potter, I'm Michael. So the minute they say Potter, I say, I changed my mind. I'm going to a real Bezin. Who knows how to learn their kosher? Farfa. So then the Chachamim say, sorry. Mechila, Eretz Tzriach Kinyan. That was one of the Haychachas that Tosfos brought on Dav Vav and Aleph. There was a big Tosfos on the bottom where they brought six rayas to prove that even though we don't hold like the Rambam, even though Tosfos Shita no one holds, just the Ran and the Rambam stand alone, even though nobody agrees with the Rambam, that if I say I promised, I obligate myself to give you $1,000, that's already legally binding. We don't agree with that Rambam. But if I say, I'm moichel you the $1,000 that you owe me, that is legally binding. All I have to say is I'm moichel, and the mechila is tal taken. Yeah, there's no need for my sikinyan. So Tosfos says, that's what it says here in the Gemara. Shmuel is trying to understand, my time at the Chachamim. Why did the Chachamim say, ain't yochel asabo? So he says, the only time the Chachamim disagree is only the mochelo. Habu be'etan loch. Not that the Taveh foregoes his title. The Nitva says, I don't owe you a penny. I don't owe you any money. But if this Pasul of Bezin says that I have to pay, I accept the Pesach and I will pay. And then the Bezin passes that he has to pay, that even the Chachamim would agree with the Rav Meir, that Yochel Achzabo, Einem Chuyiv L'Shalem, because to create a Hischaivis, you do need a Kinyan. To make a Mechila, you don't need a Kinyan. But to create a Hischaivis, you certainly need a Kinyan. So if we would have accepted the view of Shmuel, then we would understand what's going on in the Mishnah. We don't accept the view of Shmuel. We hold that that's not so. The Gemara has two versions. Maybe even Rav Meir would agree. Rav Meir is the one who says, Yochel Achzabo, you can always back out. So the Gemara has one version. Rav Meir would never say it in the case of Mocholoch. Rav Meir would never say Yochel Achzabo. Mechila in Itzvich HaKinyin. Once the Taveya says, I will not press charges again. If this Pasul of Bezin says that you put there, I agree, I will absolve you of the chiv, I won't make you pay. So one version is more, even Rav Meir is made of the Mocholoch. So that doesn't matter whether we hold like that version or not. We're not going to pass like Rav Meir anyway, but the Shaila is the Chachamim. The Chachamim say, Eina Yochel Achzabo, so we pass in Loch, and not only the Mocholoch, even the Etnoloch. The Etnoloch Tzarik the Shaila. How is it legally binding? Just because the Nitva says, I don't owe you a penny. If this Pasul, I agree, Maskin, if this Pasul of Bezin, with this Pasul of Shavua, if it will turn out that I have to pay, I'm describe myself, I'm asking that I will pay you. What makes that legally binding? There was no Kenyan suitor, and there was no Kenyan shtar to create his chaylus. So why did the Chacham say, Eina yochel achzabo, even the etanol? That's the riddle, that's the puzzle over here. So the Shach and the Chalishim Mishnah has a long arichas on this, and he points out there are two different cases. The halachas are not always the same. If it's mocholoch, that part we understand. If it's be'etin loch, then there are two different mahalchim to explain. So take the mashal, one mahalch is like this. Let's say it's a kosher bezin, except the edim are not kosher. It's only eid echot, so the edim are craving, then when Allah abba for an aid, or the din requires someone has to take a shvua, and the balidina make up, if he says duly b'chai roshi, if he says chai roshi, if he's makabal aklol on himself, that'll substitute for the shvua, doesn't have to swear on the sefer Torah. And then after they do it, then the baldin who just lost the case backs out and says, I want my money back. I want to go back to the regular din Torah. So there the shach says, that's a different word. That's halacha. Whenever Bezin issues a psak, the case is finished. The case is closed. If Bezin issues a psak in error, if the Bezin made a mistake when they paskin, then if it's a toibid by Mishnah, then you choise it. Then you have a right to reverse it. But if B'shas Maisi, Bezin didn't make any mistake at all. Bezin didn't make a mistake. Bezin said, we can only paskin based on two kosher witnesses. So the Baladinim say, Mavata, Meichel, we give you permission to paskin based on one witness. We give you permission to paskin based on Kroivim, based on Noshim, the Yeshiva. Let the Eidim give Haggadah say it is the Yeshiva. Let him not swear. The Baladinim gave the Bezin permission. So the Bezin didn't make any mistake. The Bezin paskin with the permission of the Baladinim. The Bezin paskin based on Eidecha, based on Psulim. Then, if the Bezin issues a bona fide Bezin, issues a bona fide Psak, all of a sudden, what about the Baladin wants to pull out the rug from under their feet, wants to say, no, I back out for my permission, I back out for my consent that I gave in the first place. So the Shach says, that's too late. A Psak of a Bezin is binding unless you can demonstrate that the Psak was based on an error. Psak was not based on any error, B'shai. The Psak was with the authorization and permission of the board Baladin. So that psak is binding based on the klal. A psak of a bezin, the case is closed. In Issa v'Heter, you don't have such a thing. When we started Sanhedrin, we discussed that's a chilek between Issa v'Heter, when you have a chacham paskening on Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Kashas, Hilchas Nida, he just paskens in abstract. Even a Yishom, a chicken, You show him a leg of a chicken, he's not paskening on this chicken. He's paskening if such a chicken would come up, what would the din be? You show him a mara, you're not paskening for this woman. He's saying in abstract, this color mara is tohor, this color mara is tohor. A psak, an isa beheter, is always an abstract. When you, that's the word of a bezin, that's the whole chiddush of a bezin. When a bezin paskens, and didi mominis, let's say, the bezin is paskening on this case, and the case is closed. And you can't open up the case again, even though, let's say, we went to the bezin of the tzais. At the same generation of the tzais, the nesivis had a bezin. If we would have gone to the other bezin, they would have passed the fakir. Whichever bezin passed him first in the case, the psak is binding. You can't demonstrate that they made a mistake. He has a shita, he has a shita. You go, machlokes hatanoi. You went to this bezin and they passed him one way. You can't go to another bezin. You said, Hector, there's an asik. You can go to another bezin. The Gemara has to give reasons, the Rishonim have to give reasons. Why is there aloch, achachm shasar, and chaver asher lahatas? The whole discussion is shochanach, why it's so. But in a dintera, it's a double pasha like that. That's the klal. The Gemara has that melitz in Yivam. It's beidina, bosa beidina loy daiki. Once you have a psak of a bezin, the case is closed, period. There's nothing more to discuss. Unless he can demonstrate that the bezin made a mistake. So that's what the Shach uses that principle over here. He says, if it's a kosher a bezin, except that we weren't using the rules and regulations of Hilchas Eidus and Hilchas Shvuah, because the Baal HaDinim gave bezin permission to paskin shaloi al pi halacha. But the bezin gives a psak, so that's a psak. The bezin didn't make a mistake, b'shaiko. So you cannot reverse the psak of the bezin, so the case is closed. That's in that case. The shaila is that what happens if the whole bezin tightens? What if the bezin are amei horetz? Shloshe roi bokor, or the bezin on the moralai abba and the moralai avicha, the abba vi avicha are the bezin, not the yedin. So then there is no kosher of bezin to begin with. So you can't say the psak of the bezin is binding because it wasn't, you haven't demonstrated that they made any mistake. So why is it binding in that case? And then the shach comes up with a new klal, of nasa maisa alpif. That's a new halacha. Mechilei netzvich hakinyan, so that's the easiest to understand. The next case is if there's a kosher of bezin, but they're not using all the rules and regulations of the procedure of the bezin, that's a different word, the shach says. Once the bezin gives the psak, so it's binding because the psak was not an error. The bezin mishaita had the right to issue that psak. They were authorized by the two Baal HaDinim to forget about the Hilchas Eidus and the Hilchas Shvuah and so on. And in the third case, with the bezin is nishkin bezin, that's a different halacha of nasa maisa alpiv. It's important to keep, believe me, we'll have to continue next week. It's important to keep in mind all the different, the three different reasons, because Allah Almighty, they're going to be nafkaminas ladina. Going to be nafkaminas la'alah. Okay, it's a little late. Maybe I'll introduce to you, there's a Rabbi Prustman who brings things to our attention from time to time. He wants to present something just for 2 minutes.